Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's not much better though.
No, it's pretty faint, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It just kind of feels like a transatlantic call in 1980s. There's like a slight delay there. It's not too noticeable, but...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So which of my emails did you just get?
The power outage. You're back on.
Yes. I don't know what it is, but I called the Canberra Times to let them know so that later this afternoon I can find out from them.
Nice.
It, whatever happened, took out a very large number. I had to get a neighbour to call AccuAGL faults because I'm waiting for a replacement SIM card and I didn't have any landline or anything, had no power. I did try calling 000 because that was the only thing I could call with the old SIM card. But they told me there was no scheduled faults. Obviously, they didn't look for any unscheduled faults, so I ended up having a knock on a neighbour's door. And when the thing on speaker played out the announcement on the faults line, yeah, there was like 15 suburbs and major street names listed, and saying restoration 1:30 p.m., and that was at 10:30 a.m., so it was like, okay, fantastic. Normally when that larger power outage occurs in Canberra unexpectedly, someone's a vehicle's run off the road into one of our roadside cabinets, larger or smaller. That's the most common cause of that large unexpected outage, but clearly they were able to isolate wherever the issue occurred and presumably bring most of the area they had listed back online. But yeah, this is kind of normal. Something happens, takes out a large area first and then they narrow it down, but that 1:30 p.m. time will definitely be the likely absolute earliest for whatever one or two suburbs they, you know, are in the immediate area that still don't have power at the moment. But yeah, this is a very normal Canberra power outage, I'm sure. I just want to know, it's 95% that there's been a major car crash that caused it. So one way or the other, Canberra Times, I want to get a report around on that regardless. So I just want to know what the power outage was.
Yeah, I can definitely get that.
Yes, anyway, that's my way of resolving that issue in this moment. But I lay down to sleep, to just rest, because there's literally nothing else I could do, and then power came back on just before I emailed you. So, yeah, I just didn't know if anyone had tried calling me, because I'd emailed a few people this morning saying, like, you know, hey, can we talk this morning? And then I locked all power for an hour, and no one could call me, and it was like, oh, okay, is people going to know, or is it just going to be the same as if my phone was on Do Not Disturb or something? So, yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Did you look at the emails sent last night?
No, I've been in meetings all morning. And I've got scheduled up the chat now.
Right, because, like, yeah, I'm literally freaking barricaded into my house by the neighbours over the last couple of weeks at this point, like, fucking surrounded by car parts and abandoned cars and... Like, apart from severe sleep deprivation, I spent the majority of last week sleeping. Like 75% of all hours last week were spent asleep. I guess when it gets too cold, I hibernate in inverted commas. When it gets too hot, I can't sleep at all. And for me, too cold and too hot is about as narrow a range as it is for guinea pigs. Guinea pigs are meant to be kept between 18 and 24 degree Celsius temperature range, or 17 and 24 degrees, something like that. Any colder than that or any hotter than that is bad for their health. And with my pots and whatever the other conditions are that affect me, clearly at this point, and after the last couple of years worth of experimentation, I'm very much like a guinea pig. Anything below about 17 for me is too cold, and anything above about 24 is too hot, you know, under variable circumstances. And I'm constantly hot, cold, you know, hot flushes, cold flushes, putting jumpers on, taking them off, turning heaters on, turning them off, etc. But, yeah, like, housing has fucked me here. That's the whole reason that I'm on bail at this point, for breaching their stupid order. And, yeah, over the last few weeks, I've been, not only obviously massively sleep-deprived, but I've been dealing with extreme fucking domestic violence right outside my house, exactly the same as that Belconnen, where I used to live, which is the whole reason that I had to fight housing for 2 years, and Julia Jones had to fight them for, you know, for a year, and Caroline the Kid is trying as well, and all these other politicians to even get fucking transferred to here, and now I'm back facing exactly the same shit as beforehand, except this time it's not across the street, right across the street from me, it's literally meters outside my fucking door and window, and it's not safe for me to go outside most of the time. And I haven't been able to fucking communicate around that to anyone because everything that's been going on over the past couple of weeks at the moment. So yeah, look, I've got a lot of questions. I've got no idea what's going on with anything at this point in regards to you guys or your practice. All I really know at this point is that they definitely don't appear to have an NDIS plan anymore. And I really desperately need to see a GP as soon as possible. But
no, you have an NDIS plan. What else can I have?
Okay, I'm not making out anything you're saying at this point. It's just coming through muffled.
Let me just try moving to it. Is that any better?
I think you said, is that any better? But that was the only thing that I made out, if you did say that.
Yeah, that's what I said. Is that any better? I'm trying to figure out how much support do you need with the support workers. When would you like them to come?
Yeah, I'm not even picking out one out of every seven words at this point.
There's a big storm. I'll send you an email.
Hello?
I'll send an email.
Jason? Fuck.
Can you hear me?